Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody to the Blitz here on Blog Talk Radio and on UltimateSportsTalk.com. It's NFL game day and there was another game in London. I am your host, Erica Lynn Anderson from GridironGirl.org, NFL Pro Talk and the University of Washington column. And once again, I am joined by my two co-hosts, Kit Sushi Free and Eric Brown. How are your guys' Sundays going?
Hey, we're doing good. How are you guys doing?
I'm
going
good.
Anytime there's football on, I'm doing good.
Absolutely.
That's right, exactly. Going crazy in the off season for sure. So, did you guys see any interesting games so far today? Eric, let's start with you.
Yeah, I have to say the most interesting one would have to be the Jets beating the Steelers. I mean, nobody... Nobody that I know of picked that game or, picked the Jets to win that game. But, Michael Vick was his vintage self and, had a really good game. And they just went out and shocked everybody.
Yeah, for sure. That's definitely Twilight Zone material right there. I was, when I got the alert, I was like, what? And they forced four turnovers, which is crazy, considering the Jets defense hasn't been able to do anything all year. So, good for them, I guess. But they snapped an eight-game losing streak. What about you, Kishi? Did you see any interesting games today?
Well, I think probably besides the Jets and Steelers games, I would have to say the other one was the 49ers beating the Saints in New Orleans and in overtime at that.
That was definitely a
crazy seesaw game.
Yeah. Drew Brees. I guess getting stripped and sacked, you can't really,
The turnovers and the penalties, I think, hurt both teams, but especially the last-minute-ditch effort play and, Jimmy Graham just knew he had the touchdown, and then they called him for offensive holding. So, that was a critical play right there.
Right.
Yeah, that happened a similar situation to the Ravens, I think, in the Bengals game a couple of weeks ago. Steve Smith had a touchdown pass, and they called him for offensive pass interference. So they called it back, and they ended up losing, I think. It was, so you got to watch those penalties. There's lots of college – what's up?
No, go ahead.
What was that? Oh, no, I was just going to keep going. But what were you going to say?
Oh, no, I couldn't hear you for a second, but go ahead. Yes, let's get ready to talk about college.
Oh, yeah, just there's lots of college football action this weekend, so you guys can go and follow at GridironGirl.org. We have all that, plus tailgating ideas and recipes and updates on all of our articles. Today, in a couple of minutes, in the No Joke Football Huddle, it's sponsored by Zazzle.com. We will have with us our LFL insider, Pete Richmeyer. You can follow him at SportsPete253, talking LFL Australia season cancellation, his thoughts on the LGL, which is the Ladies Gridiron League, and the probability of a sixth season in the LFL USA. But let's do the women's game rundown before we get to the No Joke Football Huddle. You can go to Zazzle.com/GridironBeauties and get 10% off deals on every item. use the code ORDERSHIP10 for the discount. In the women's game this week, you can go to our timeline at Gridiron Beauty on Twitter and Gridiron Beauty on Facebook for latest updates. Let's go down under to Australia as the Queensland ladies now eye the playoffs. The top four teams in the playoff mix include former champs Logan City Jets, the Gold Coast Stingrays, the Kenmore Panthers, and the Steelers. Our no-joke football supporters are Chrissy Moran of the Jets and Lauren Evans of GC, and they look to collide in playoff mode. The Jets finished the regular season undefeated at 10-0, so congratulations to them. They're heading into the playoffs November 22nd versus the Steelers. And the Gold Coast Stingrays are 9-1, and they will collide with the Kenmore Panthers, who are 8-4. You can go ahead and visit gridironqld.asn.au for the latest playoff standings and updates. In Gridiron Victoria, you can follow them at Gridiron Vic on Twitter. Follow them weekly using hashtag GBWomen for game day updates. Week 6 champs, the Western Foxes, remain undefeated at 4-0, followed by the surprising Berwick Diamonds, who are 2-1. The Northern Lady Raiders are also 2-1. And the Ball of Rock Kestrels and the Melbourne Chargers, they're winless this year. In Gridiron New South Wales, Week 5, the Newcastle Cobras remain undefeated at 4-0. They beat the Lady Raiders 40-8, followed by UTS, who are 2-2. And they won big, 42-20, versus the current champs, the Phoenix, who unfortunately dropped to 1-3. Visit at GridironNSW on Twitter or visit their website, gridironnsw.org.au, for standings and matchups. In Mexico, LIBF, they will host the exhibition November 15th, featuring the Vipers versus the Diocese Aztecs, or the Aztec Goddesses. Get tickets now on the official site, libf.com.mx, for details, plus updates on Twitter at libfoficial. That's libfoficial. Also, LIBF announced its official magazine debut of Fuerza LIBF, available at every game day event. Shout out to iRadioMan on Twitter for live tweets and interviews. In SXF Mexico action, check out our Facebook page for updates and MVP nominees. Follow them at SXF_Mexico for weekly updates. Follow the Australian season and how it unfolds by keeping up to date on the latest Gridiron Victoria, Queensland, ACT, and New South Wales action by following at Women's Gridiron on Twitter and visit Women's Gridiron Leagues of Australia on Facebook. Now, remember, tryouts for Women's Gridiron North America scene for 2015 are on now. Follow WSB Talk and Backseat Coach for the latest updates. And that's women's news. You can follow us for the latest on Twitter at Gridiron Beauty or Facebook.com/Gridiron Beauties. So let's go into the huddle with the ever-insightful Pete Richmeyer talking LFL. Hi, Pete. Thanks for taking the time
Hello.
To come on.
I appreciate you having
How
me on.
How are you?
Doing fantastic.
How are you today?
Seahawks won.
Ah, yes. I was going to ask you about that. Your Seahawks, I'm sure you're pretty happy. Last week we had Scott on, and he was, talking about the Seahawks and their season.
Yeah, it's been kind of touch and go, but they looked all right today.
Yeah, they were tied for a bit, and then they just kind of took off. Marshawn Lynch just had a heck of a game, I can tell you that. My fantasy points were off
yeah.
the chart today.
Absolutely.
So you're on with Eric Brown and Kishi Free, who love to talk football too. And obviously we've talked before, so you know me.
Right.
So let's dive into the Seahawks and their record and what has surprised you so far in the Seahawks season.
Injuries, I think, is the big one, because we've had a lot of key injuries that have been in some very key spots. Our center, a lot of our defensive backs, the defensive secondary has been down for most of the year, and I think a lot of people are so surprised because of how easy they made it look last year. Well, this year should be even easier. And I think that's where a lot of people are surprised. You know, they don't realize that the Seahawks are the team that every year, that every team has marked on their calendar. This is a team with a bullseye. This is the defending champs. Everyone's going to bring their A game. So, you know, it's not going to be as easy as a lot of people thought. And that's not surprising, but the injuries, they certainly have been.
Yeah, you know, injuries are one of those things you can't account for. And when they hit a team, it seems like a bunch hit at once. You know, you never get,
yeah,
like, one guy or just – and some, like – I mean, I know everybody on the team is important, but if you get an, you know, a starting, you know, important, you know, person that goes down, it affects your team. And people always think you're using a cop-out for it. But it's true. I mean, you know, injuries kill a team. I mean, you look at the Packers last year. They just were full of them. And it sucks, and it's unfortunately one of those things you can't control.
Absolutely.
So what other have there been any other surprises in general in the NFL this year that you have kind of seen that are really surprising?
I don't think so. I think surprises, no, other than the fact that the lawsuits that the negative press for the NFL is taking on with Adrian Peterson and the Ray Rice. Stuff like that's always a surprise to me when these players in the spotlight mess up to the degree that they do. But as far as, like, records and teams that are playing well, not playing well, like you have the 1-7 Jets take out the Steelers today, it's really hard to call those surprises because if it happens any week, you just don't know.
Yeah, unpredictability of the NFL for sure. And I think that's what makes it so fun to watch as well is you never know what's going to happen. And like you said, the 1-18 can beat the, you know, I don't know the Steelers record, but, you know, Roethlisberger has had a really decent last couple of games, and then the Jets defense forces 4 turnovers, 2 of them are interceptions, and you're just like, where did this team come from? So, it's definitely So let's talk the LFL Australia. So for Eric and Kishi, they're pretty new to the women's scene. Can you give us a bit of LFL history and the type of modified football that it is that's different than the NFL?
Yeah, absolutely. LFL actually started out when Mitchell Mortaza, he did a halftime show for the Super Bowl that was competitive with the halftime Super Bowls at the time, where he had these models come on and big-name celebrities, and they played a lingerie game where the women wear basically lingerie with chokers and the garter belts and whatnot, and it was a big deal. Well, after a while, he decided he wanted to make a league out of it with teams in various cities. The first year he did it, he had a very successful year. He had coverage on MTV2, the games were live for the first part of the season, and then they were taped, delayed, second half, and then, of course, after the season, they decided not to bring him back at all. So pretty much he's decided that he wants to be global. He wants to be in Canada, in Mexico, in Australia, and Europe, and all these other places, but he hasn't had a lot of success.
Yeah, and so I guess I'm curious. So does Mortaza own Australia, the LFL Australia, then all the international, he owns all that as well. Is that right?
Well, you know, let's go ahead and get into the nitty-gritty on that topic because it'll probably surprise a lot of people. When Mitch Mortaza went to Australia, he did so, like he did in Canada, on a tourist visa. It was not a working visa. So he went in, he found a guinea pig to put a duck to put the league in that person's name while he was calling all the shots. Well, in Australia, he decided that he wanted to take the money with him back to the U.S., which he did so. And in doing so, he did not pay any of the coaches in Australia. He did not pay any of his staff in Australia. And he basically left them with nothing to show for the whole season. So when it came time for this season to come up, they stood up and said, no, that's not going to happen again.
So that's why LFL Australia is canceled then?
Correct. because everybody in Australia told him no. One of the things Mitch wanted is he wanted them to send all of the players' fees. The players actually pay in the LFL to play. So he demanded that they send all the players' fees to him to pay for their airline tickets for him to go from here to Australia. They said no, and it turned into a great big fight. And the LGL was born, and Mitch is 100% out in Australia. I know he likes to say, tryouts coming up in January and this and that. And like Canada, and much like what's happening in the U.S., he will not be back. He has no chance of being back in Australia. He can't even go to Australia now.
Nice. So he completely burned the bridges with everybody in Australia, which I don't blame anybody. That's a pretty do-bad move, if you will. So here's I have a question. So we've had numerous discussions on this show about Murtaza and the lack and the really bad management that has gone on in the LFL. How he's treated these women, and it's just not a good situation. So now, do you think at this point, can anybody, let's say, oust Murtaza or just basically, kind of revolt and just create something new but that's similar? I mean, is that a possibility at this point?
Oh, sure it is. I think the only reason that Mitch Murtaza is still relevant is because of the veterans that he's had from the beginning, and a lot of these players, for whatever reason, still think that he's got a feature movie coming up and still think he's got this and that coming up and a video game coming up. So he's got them sold, and they're still keeping him alive. You know, other than that, all the LFL is right now truly is Mitch Murtaza on Facebook at his mom's house putting out these "We're going to conquer the world" stories. That is all the LFL is.
Okay, so now I have here, Oscar sent this to me, that he sent U.S. stars Danica Brace, Stevie Schnur, and Kate Matheny, and Sage Steinmetz, and then he basically pulled the rug out from underneath them last minute. Is that right?
Well, he didn't send them. That didn't cost Mitch a dime. That was the coaches and other players in Australia that paid the way for the U.S. players to go there. Mitch knew that there was not going to be a season. He just didn't bother telling anybody and allowed the U.S. players to go ahead and go and be stuck, basically.
Okay. So now do you think these girls will be welcomed in the U.S. season?
I don't think there will be a U.S. season.
Really?
I think there's almost no chance of there being a U.S. season.
Oh, okay. So now, go ahead.
I think the fact that he's got, not just the player losses, because I realize those are going to take years to get out. His problem is with venues. He's being sued by multiple venues. And, the reason, this team folds and that team folds and this game's canceled and that team's canceled, the arenas want nothing to do with him as time goes on. So he's going to find a tough place to play. And all these arenas want money up front, and he's broke. For the past couple of years, his mom and dad have been financing the LFL. And judging by the way things are now, that's come to a stop.
Wow. So how about the LFL Europa in 2016?
There's no chance.
No?
No. The LFL, as you see it, is done. What will happen is Mitch will try to reinvent the halftime show that he had, because he was very successful with that. Well, he was moderately successful. But as far as the league goes, no, we've seen the last of an LFL league. He just got too bad a reputation. But
that's what happens when you do bad business, That's definitely what happens, And you treat people that way. I mean, how many times have we talked on this show about how he treats people? You can't do that and expect to be successful. That is, so these girls, these players, can they get, do you think that they will be able to migrate into, these other women's football leagues? I know the LFL and, and the IWFA and all, I know they're different style of play, but do you think that that's something that they'll try to do?
Yeah, they still want to play, absolutely, because what there's no denying is the players in the LFL are extremely talented athletes. They work hard. You know, they pay to work hard. They're not getting anything out of it, so that's not a concern for them. And if you've ever seen an LFL game, which I'm sure most people are associated with the show have, it's one of the most intense sports you can see because, I mean, they're going in with basically a hockey helmet and foam pads and playing football on a carpet with hockey
right.
boards. I mean, absolutely have no fear, and they go get it.
Yeah, and they're better protected in the other leagues, too, like the, you know, is it the WBF? And I mean, they're better protected, so that's definitely something, you know, that they could look forward to, essentially, that, you know, that they wouldn't
right.
be taking as much of a risk. So I know you mentioned a game, so what's the deal with this all-fantasy game that's being teased on Facebook?
That Mitch is saying on Facebook?
About the all-fantasy game that's being teased on Facebook? What's the deal with this thing?
If it's coming from Mitch Mortaza, it's BS. He doesn't have the ability to put an all-fantasy game together. In Mexico City or Australia or Canada, he can't do business in Canada. He can't do business in Australia. And there's some very successful leagues in Mexico that will make sure he can't do business there. So if it's coming from Mitch right now regarding growth of the LFL, it's a blatant lie.
Okay. So does the LDL in your eyes have a legit shot at surprising people?
Yes.
They
do. I mean, you have some experienced coaches. You have some very experienced players, especially with the U.S. players over there. What they just need to do is make sure that they don't oversell, which is what Mitch did, and they stay focused and get some games played. But, yeah, absolutely. I think they have a great shot.
And they'll be more successful than the LFL, like you said, if they don't oversell.
Well, as long as they do things, you know, they stay focused and they work on building a solid foundation, then sure they will. I think it's just going to take some smart business and the ability to stay focused on the long game, then that should help
mm-hmm.
them out.
Okay. And do you think the LGL compensation structure is realistic? Can they maintain it?
I think it's an idea. I think until it actually happens, it's kind of hard to tell. I think it's realistic. You know, at the same time, I agree players should be compensated. Everyone knows that leagues need to be able to operate as well. Because if you can't afford to open your doors, there's no need for a game.
Mm-hmm.
But you also want to make sure the players get their compensation as well. I think as long as both sides look to build something long-term instead of trying to just get a flash in the pan, then it'll work. So whether or not this particular structure will work, I mean, don't know. You know, just like every other sport, these things take many different forms as times go on, and it may not be this one or the next one or the one after that, but eventually I think as long as they stay focused and do honest business, then they'll get one that works.
Yeah, and a lot of that would depend on, like, ticket sales and if they can get endorsements and things like that, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. You know, one of the things that I told Mitch back when I worked for the league, that if your players are happy, that's all their advertising you need. These players go out and
mm-hmm.
they sell the tickets, they promote the league, you know, but if you bash them over the head, talk down to them and treat them like crap, there's no, what's the motivation in doing that? And these players haven't had
yeah.
that. So I think if they have a league that respects them and they're proud of, then yeah, absolutely. I think it'll work out with the sponsorships and the ticket sales because the players make sure that happens.
Yeah, well, and I'm sure, you know, at first these women probably don't expect to get compensated. That's probably not even the really huge issue for them in that, like you said, you keep them happy and they're playing for the passion of the game and they're being treated right. They're going to stay with you. They're going to stick with you and try and build, like you said, a long-term successful league. You know, but when your players desert you and everybody's bad-mouthing you because of your bad business practices, people
right.
don't want to spend. You know, people don't want to give you their money. They're not going to spend money on tickets or merchandise. And other companies get the hint of that, and they're not going to endorse you. Why would they? They know you're a flake, and they know that how you treat people. It's a whole, you know, he's burned bridges in countries. I mean, when you're getting blocked from countries, you know something's wrong.
Exactly. So, that should be a real red flag for him.
Yeah, for sure.
Now, the Tri-Nation, the one that the LGL's putting on, I think that they need to do that. I think the fact that, you know, they've got the uniforms, they've got the players, I think that's something they need to do, and they need to do fairly quickly because they've been putting out there that, you know, this is what we're doing, this is what we're doing, this is what we're doing. Okay, now let's see something. If, you know, there's a problem getting the stadiums booked. Okay, find a smaller venue. You know, these games don't need to be in 60,000-seat arenas. You know, Mitch had plenty of games in a 14,000 arena when 500 people showed up. You know, so it doesn't need to be the big venue. They just need to play the game, let the players actually get out and hit someone other than their teammates, and work on it from there.
Yeah, for sure. LFL's done. Like, in Canada, Mexico, they're done. Is that right?
Canada's definitely done. Mexico, I don't believe he would ever try to go back. And Australia's done.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he had a very successful all-star game in Mexico with the first-year players. And that went over very well, due to very large attendance. And then the league there picked up after he left. And the league there paid their players and compensate them. And the government basically knows that he goes there on a tourist visa, takes the money and runs, not paying the government what he owes them or their staff.
Wow. So, Eric, do you have any questions for Pete?
Yeah. Well, first, let me say what I've heard so far sounds like a really good movie script someday. So I don't know if they ever plan on making a movie about it, but sounds like it would be really good. But my question is, I know nowadays, especially in the in college and NFL, a lot of people are very conscious about head injuries, concussions, long-term effects of that. Have you gotten any sense of that from the either from the LFL or any of the women's scene at all?
Absolutely. I think that's something that they take very seriously. I know that with the LFL, that wasn't too big of a concern at first to them. Basically, I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that the girls will play one game, their next one might be canceled, and then they won't play another one for 2 months, or there's 3 months between games, so girls were injured. They had time to pass the protocol and play. Unfortunately, the helmets that they used and the safety equipment that they used basically wasn't protective enough to stop a majority of the injuries that it should have. So while they take the protocol seriously, they don't take preventing the injury seriously enough, if that makes sense.
Gotcha. So there is some sort of protocol at least.
Yeah. If the player sustains the injury, they'll have to pass the protocol to get back into the game. But the equipment that they use pretty much leaves them open for those concussions. And I've seen a lot of really bad head injuries. In fact, one of the players that's suing the league suffered one of those, and it wasn't pretty. And it was directly related to the helmets.
Well, I have a follow-up on Eric's question. Hi, this is Kichi. How are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm great. And I'm really glad that you asked the question about, you know, the concussions and you know, discussing the equipment, because especially with the LFL and the fact that ladies really and truly aren't wearing much in the way of body protection, of course, because, you know, they're trying to show. And I'm thinking of my own son who is padded down from head to toe, and even, you know, with his pants, they come with thigh pad protectors, and these ladies have nothing on their size. And as a female, you know, the shoulder pads stop at the shoulders, but they don't come all the way down and cover with the breastplate like my son has. And I'm just comparing how even my son is more protected, you know, than these ladies. And I'm thinking about the pains and the aches he's complaining about. I can only imagine how sore these young ladies are, and they're playing indoors on a dome on a hard floor surface.
Oh, absolutely right. I mean, some of the rug burns that I've seen and the infections that they've gotten after the fact are horrendous from playing on the basically a carpet laid out over concrete or laid out over plywood if the arena has a nice surface they're trying to protect. So the injuries from that are brutal.
And is there anything that they're doing in terms of the league, to, you know, with regards to these types of injuries?
As far as the LFL, no. They pretty much stopped where they're at. LGL, they've gone to a safer shoulder pad and a modified helmet. So the helmets have a lot more of their integrity and they're stronger. So the problem with the concept of the performance wear, the lingerie style look, is it's difficult to put the players in a typical football helmet because they're not wearing hip pads, they're not wearing thigh pads, so they go to tackle someone and they take a helmet straight to their hip. That could cause some problems, so they're not going to put them in the traditional football helmets. So I think the LGL, the equipment they're using, looks a lot better than the LFL, and the fact that they're not playing in modified hockey arenas helps because a lot of the injuries the players sustain are crashing up against the boards, and in Australia they don't have that problem.
Oh, that sounds horrendous. Those injuries, oh my gosh, those poor women.
Yeah.
Oh.
I've seen some really bad ones.
Right, I imagine. I mean, you know, and then on top of that, they're not being treated very well. They're not being compensated. If they're not being compensated, they're probably not being offered health insurance. So I'm sure it's you know, they're putting themselves out there game after game with not much to show for it other than that they love what they're doing. You know, they love the sport,
that's
why they're out there.
That's it. That's it. Because they get nothing else out of it. You know, the first year, I can see, okay, yeah, they're going to be on MTV2, and then he says that they're filming a reality show that never happens, and then he says they're doing a video game that never happens, and then he says, you know, they're doing a movie which will never happen, and then another reality show never happens. So, you know, he keeps putting the carrots in front of them, but as long as the players realize that, you know, these aren't going to happen, he's going to have a tough time finding players.
Yeah,
because there is nothing in it for him.
Yeah. Well, you know, Pete, we really appreciate you coming on and talking to us about this. This was really enlightening, and, you know, I learned a lot. We're going to talk college and NFL, so if you want to stick around, feel free to do that. Do you watch college football?
Nope. I pretty much NFL and the local stuff around here, not so much national. I watch draft day, learn who the players are, and that's good enough for me.
Okay. Are you a UW fan?
No. Oregon.
No? Oh, come on.
Absolutely.
Pete,
I've been an Oregon fan for a long time.
You
know,
no, I actually like Oregon.
The coach here, Peterson, he's doing a fantastic job. You know, he showed this week that it doesn't matter who the players are. If you don't follow his rules, if you don't act right, you're not going to be on the team. You know, he cut the quarterback, that's supposed to be a first-round draft choice, and had no problems doing it. So I think the coach is solid, and, you know, I hope that the success he had in Boise State, he continues here in Washington.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, I do like Oregon. You know, Gridiron Girl, we started our founder, huge Oregon Ducks fan. That's why she started the site. And so she writes about Oregon football. I've been to their new stadium, and it's gorgeous. And, you know, Marcus Mariota should win the Heisman, in my opinion. Great kid, very talented. And but, yeah, you know, I've been really impressed with
Peterson so far. I actually wrote an article this week because people were calling his discipline too harsh. But, you know, like you said, he showed that just because you're a potential first-round draft pick, if you're not going to, you know, get along and do what you're supposed to, then you're out of here. And I really respect him for that. I thought it was, you know, he stood up against the pressure and said, you know, put his foot down. I really admired him for that.
Absolutely. I thought it was a great move. Unlike some NFL coaches, you know, like have the initials Harbaugh, that it doesn't matter if you're facing multiple felony counts, you can play on his team. So I think he's running a moral program, and I certainly applaud him as well.
Yeah, or you could be Jimbo Fisher at Florida State. He doesn't care, obviously.
Yeah.
So, hey. So, definitely. And I hate that mentality. I mean, I know winning's necessary, but one thing they forget is these kids, they're in college. They are still kids, you know, and if you're not going to put them on the right path and give them the skills for life and coach them in football, then, you know, you may want to, you know, take a second look at your career choice.
Yep.
And thanks again for coming on. Like I said, if you want to stick around, we're going to talk some more football.
I appreciate the offer.
Yeah.
All right,
it was really
great
speaking with you. Thank you for enlightening me. I mean, I literally, like Eric, I just had to sit and be quiet because what you had was so informative.
Pretty ugly what's been happening there. Yeah, I understand that. And I appreciate you guys having me on.
Yeah, thanks, Pete. You can follow Pete at SportsPete253, right, on Twitter?
Absolutely.
Is there anywhere else that they can find you?
That's pretty much it. SportsPete253 or on Facebook, that works too. And I'm happy to talk to anybody to share my LFL horror story.
There you go. You need to write a book.
Put that movie out.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, Pete, we look forward to having you on here again in the future. And have a great evening.
You too. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Pete. So we started talking college football a bit. There was a couple of upsets this weekend. Eric, I know you love college football, so why don't you give us your thoughts on college football this weekend?
Well, I mean, there's definitely some shakeups, pretty exciting games too. I was able to watch the Alabama game last night. Of course, being a big Alabama fan, but didn't expect that one to go in overtime at all, and it did, and they ended up pulling that one out pretty close there for a minute. But, you got TCU moving up in the ranks, Baylor moving up. So there was definitely some shakeups this weekend.
Yeah, Auburn losing, getting upset. That was a big deal because they were in the top four of the CFP. So that's going to open a spot up. I know you're an Alabama fan, so I can probably predict your answer, but what are your thoughts on, do you think that Alabama or TCU should take that fourth spot?
Well, I personally think Alabama should take it if there was, you know, a choice between the two. I hate to base it on, you know, the strength of each team, if you will, but Alabama does play better competition than TCU does, and just going by the eyeball test, as far as just how Alabama plays, how physical they are, the athletes that they have, it just seems like they should be, you know, at least in there early, or at least given a shot to be in there.
If they base it on this week's game, TCU will take the spot because TCU beat their opponent worse than Alabama beat theirs. And I think TCU played a ranked team. They played a pretty high-ranked team,
memory
serves
me correctly.
But, exactly. So if they go off this week, TCU should take the spot. But if they're going to look at the season in general, I imagine Alabama's going to take the spot because, like you said, they are in the SEC, and they do play more ranked teams this year. you know, so it depends on where they're going to go with it. The college football playoff system is new, so it's hard for us to predict what exactly is going to happen. But, you know, Tuesday night, we'll see that. So who's your top five in the
poll? Okay, I have a question for you guys.
Oh.
I have a question for you guys. So I'm, you know, I've been trying to keep up with college just, you know, since this is your thing. And you're right, this is a new playoff system. So I have questions. So according to the playoff rankings, right now Mississippi State is in first, Florida State is in second. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, Auburn's in third and Oregon's in fourth and Alabama's in fifth. Is that correct?
So,
yeah, according
those
to the
are
college
rankings.
Oh, okay.
Right, according to the college rankings, the playoff rankings.
Yeah. Okay, now why is there such a huge disparity between the college playoff rankings and the AP top 25? Does that matter? You know, what constitutes the difference between the two, especially since they have this new playoff system this year?
Well, the CFP is basically all that matters right now. The AP, they keep ranking people. I don't know. At this point, I don't know why they keep doing it. But the CFP at this point is all that matters because the last four teams ranked on December 7th are the four teams that get into the playoffs and then potentially get into the national championship. And the AP poll is made up of different people than the college football playoff ranking people. So it's two sets of people that rank these teams. And the AP, I don't know, Eric, I haven't looked at them side by side in the last couple of weeks, but they haven't differed too dramatically, have they?
Except for Auburn, and that's the reason why I asked. According to the CFP, Auburn is number three, but according to the AP, they have Auburn number nine. So, again, maybe I'm looking at last week's numbers.
Oh, yeah.
So that's why I was asking.
Yeah, so the AP
put out
every – what was that, Eric?
I was going to say they haven't put out the new rankings yet.
Exactly.
So we'll see kind of what the difference is when that comes out. But even based on last week's poll, they do have Auburn at number nine. But as far as basically your top five, I mean, it's pretty even between the two.
Yeah. So the rankings you're looking at, Keishier, the CFP comes out every Tuesday night. So you're looking at last week's CFP and you're looking at this week's AP. So Auburn lost last night, which means the AP comes out with their rankings every Sunday. So AP has already calculated, okay, Auburn lost, so we're going to rank them ninth. The CFP will see reflected Tuesday night where Auburn falls in the playoff rankings. So
very enlightening.
Yes. So it's definitely, we talked about this last week, Eric, that this CFP, they call it a playoff, but it's not a playoff system. In no way can you call a ranking system a playoff system, and we need a true playoff system in college football. And until we see a true playoff system, to me, you can't have a unanimous national championship, a national champion in college football until one is instituted. So I don't know what they thought they were trying to fool everybody with getting rid of the BCS and putting this thing in, but they did a pretty good job of getting everybody to follow along like sheep. So it's pretty irritating, honestly.
Well, why has it been so difficult? I mean, I think the program that they have in place for basketball is very functional. So why is it so difficult to put something like that in place for football?
Well, with basketball, I mean, they play so many games. I mean, with college football, you have, 10, 11, 12 games? And,
yeah,
you know,
exactly.
By the way, football, I mean, the type of sport that it is, you can't play forever. I mean, there's got to be a point where the guys need to take a break and, you know, go into the off season because it is so physical. So I think that's the hard part in actually, you know, coming up with, okay, how are we going to you know, kind of almost like college basketball where you do like a Sweet 16 and then you break it down from there and you break it down from there. With college football, the only way to do that at this point at least would be to like have a five-game season and then start the playoffs after that. So I know it's going to have some bugs, some kinks to work out in the beginning, but I think eventually they'll get it. But I do like that they went away from the computer – system that they had. So, but yeah, we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Well, and I like, you know, I think that, I mean, obviously, if you get a two playoff system, you have to cut the regular season short. I mean, you have to. And I think that we should take all of the conference winners then, because conference winners are decided by who has the best record in each conference. And
right.
So I think we take the conference winners and then put them in some sort of bracket system. I think that that's the fairest way to do it, to be honest, at that point, because then we'll find out, is the SEC better than the Pac-12? Is it better than the Big Ten? Is the Big Ten better than whatever? Then we'll know. You know, I think that that's the fairest way to do it. And if you want to turn them into bowl games to make $1 billion, then go ahead. I don't care about what you want to make your money. But we need a bracket system, and, you know, like you're saying, Kishi, with how basketball does it. And like Eric said, they can't play back-to-back games either. I think basketball, they do, like, a bunch of games in a weekend, and that's obviously for football, it's not possible. But
Well, I like what you're saying, too, Erica. Well, I like what you're saying, too, about the conference part of it, because I think what that also does is it gives an opportunity for visibility for some of the smaller schools. And I think that probably, again, of course, is one of the issues that I think I've always had with the college football system, is that there really and truly is a lot of talent out there at some very small schools, and a lot of NFL Hall of Famers have come from some small schools. Like you take a Shannon Sharp, for example. Nobody even, if you ask the average person where did he go to school, no one could tell you. He went to a little black school called Savannah State, which right now is last in the MEAC, the Mid-Atlantic Athletic Conference. You take a Jerry Rice, who is considered literally the best wide receiver in the history of the NFL, and he came from a SWAT college, Mississippi Valley State University. I mean, I just think that, and he's a Hall of Famer. And I think that there's just so much production and possibility for the smaller schools, and I that's why I'm really trying to learn and ask you guys these questions, because I think the talent at, you know, the Big Ten and the Pac-10 schools is phenomenal, and I think what they are able to put into these teams and these players is awesome. But I just would like to see a little media coverage and opportunity for some of these smaller schools so that we don't miss someone.
Yeah, and I think if you force the independents into a conference, if you make them join, I think, what is it, Navy, Air Force, and Notre Dame,
mm-hmm.
possibly, that are independents right now. If you force them to join a conference, you have 10 conferences in the NCAA, including Mountain West, including, the Mid-Atlantic, including the smaller conferences that don't get as much notice. And get the champion from each of those conferences and let them play against the big schools. You know, it'll may be hard for them, but like you said, you know, look at how good Boise State was for so long. You know, I mean, they
yes.
beat Oklahoma. They were beating these big schools. So
absolutely.
It's possible, and they deserve that champ, you know. So, mm-hmm.
Look at what Alfred Morris has done with the Redskins. I mean, look at Alfred
yeah.
Morris for the Redskins. I think he was, a sixth rounder out of Florida International?
Yeah. Yeah. So it's definitely, they turn out some, you know, quality players for sure. So let's move on to the NFL. Eric told me that Carson Palmer went down, and then I got an alert that the Cardinals fear he tore his left ACL.
Oh, no.
And they,
wow.
Yeah, and he just got a contract extension on Friday worth the 3-year, $50 million extension. So if they fear he tore his left ACL, I imagine it's that bad or worse. We'll have to wait for the MRI. Who is backing up Palmer?
Stanton,
Arizona?
I think Willie's got Stanton, and then you also have the kid out of Virginia Tech. Logan Thomas. Logan Thomas is
okay.
in Arizona, and Stanton is in Arizona.
So what do you two think, Kishi? Let's start with you. What do you think about, I mean, the Cardinals are 8-1 right now. They're probably, to me, the best team in the NFC right now. What do you think their chances are of continuing kind of this Cinderella season, if you will, without Carson Palmer on your center? What do you think?
Well, I think Stanton did a pretty decent job of holding down the fort while Palmer was out the first part. Because remember, he was also out a couple of games earlier in the season. So I think Stanton has done a pretty decent job so far of holding it down. I think they'll continue. I don't know if they will continue at the rate they're going, especially now with the 49ers getting the win today over the Saints. And then the Seahawks pulling out the win over Seattle. I think there's going to be a dogfight in that division.
Yeah, for sure. What do you think, Eric, about Cardinals' chances without Palmer?
Yeah, I think things are going to start to get pretty muddy in that division for the top three as far as getting a playoff spot and a wild card spot. It looks like you got the Seahawks finally starting to, you know, come around and find their way. And it looks like the 49ers are starting to come up again. So it's going to be hard. It's kind of hard to pick the Cardinals now without Carson Palmer, but we'll have to check out maybe one or two games and see what happens from there.
But Eric,
yeah,
you called
it
last week.
What's that?
I was saying, Eric, you kind of called it last week, too, when we talked about the Cardinals, because we both were saying, you know, we were surprised at what Arizona was doing, especially, you know, this new revised, revamped Carson Palmer. And, you know, you kind of said, yeah, well, wait till the playoffs because Carson Palmer's Carson Palmer. And for now we're not even going to get to wait till the playoffs to see what happens.
Right. So maybe they'll have to rely more on the running game. They do seem to be a much tougher team than they have been in the past. So, you know, if they do pull through, it'll be probably because of the running game.
Yeah, well, and having Larry Fitzgerald, it, you know, makes it so that you can have a mediocre quarterback, you know, and Larry Fitzgerald is so good that, you know, he can kind of make up for that. But the problem, too, is that it's not just the loss of, like, let's say, Carson Palmer's talent, but it's just the shakeup in general. The offense is gelling finally. Everybody is, you know, coexisting in this kind of harmonious environment. And when you take a big piece like the quarterback out, everyone's like, wait a minute, you know, Chicken Little type of, you know, and that's the coach's job, is to stop the Chicken Little mentality and to say, no, guys, we're going to persevere. We can still do this. But, you know, the change of leadership, you know, is a big deal in a team. So hopefully, you know, not just with loss of talent, but hopefully they don't, you know, enter into kind of panic mode, because we're in week 10. It's not time for panic mode yet. You know, there is still a lot of football left. So, and that is one of the toughest divisions in NFL. But I like the Cardinals, and I hope that they can persevere and definitely pull it out.
Yeah, it may take a game or two because, of course, with a new quarterback in there, you got timing issues and, you know, cadence issues, things like that. So it may take a week or
exactly.
two to get that worked out. So.
Yeah. So how about the Lions and Matthew Stafford's last-second pass to beat the Dolphins? That in you know, because the Dolphins have been getting a lot of press lately, and they're saying, I actually read an article where, and it was offensive to me because of the fan I am, but they were like, oh, the Dolphins are going to win the AFC East. They're the team. They are it. They're better than the Patriots, which, like I said, I found offensive. But, you know, so I was keeping my eye on that game because everybody was like, the Dolphins are, oh, my gosh, like they were the second coming. And while I like Ryan Tannehill, I think he's a legitimately talented quarterback, I always think the Dolphins always have something wrong. There's always, like, a part of the football team that isn't gelling with the rest. And so I was interested in this game. And I see that the Lions pulled it out last second. Did any of you guys watch that game?
I saw bits and pieces of it, but not the whole thing.
Yeah, I didn't get to watch it. I saw some of the highlights, but I didn't get to watch the game.
Okay. I'll be honest, I was happy the Lions pulled it out. I was pretty excited. So, not that I'm scared of the Dolphins, but it's always nice when your division rivals can get a loss while you're on a bye. So,
exactly.
Two of the three teams lost in our division this week. You know, Patriots are on a bye. The Jets won, but that's like, oh, here you go, like a little pat on the head for a little kid. So good for them. So, Kishi, I see your Cowboys beat the Jaguars in London, and Tony Romo did play. I didn't watch the game. Did you watch it? How did Romo look?
I watched the game. Romo looked good. He did take a late hit in the fourth quarter for a sack, and, of course, I had to hold my breath. I was like, protection. But he looked good. I think, in all honesty, though, there was still a little stiffness in terms of the mobility. I just think that the offensive line was really good at helping to block and allowing him to extend plays. That said, everyone's going to say, oh, well, big deal. It was the Jaguars. Okay, what the score does not reflect was how tough those Jacksonville Jaguars came to play. And I honestly think that if they can really nail down the quarterback component and beef up their defense just a little bit more, they really could be a contender, because what I saw out of them today was nice. I mean, they really, truly, especially in the first two quarters, they were giving Dallas a run.
Yeah. You know, the quarterback the Jags have, I think they still, Bortles is still, I think, starting. I like this kid. You know, he's the first quarterback taken in the draft. I watched I always pay a ton of attention to the combine, so I watched the combine this year, and Bortles really, really impressed me. I thought he was the best quarterback in the draft. I mean, there was a ton of hype with Manziel, but Blake Bortles, not only athletic talent, but he's got a good head on his shoulders from his quotes and everything he talks about, is that he's ready, he's coachable, which is what you want. Manziel was just, he's not coachable to me, he's... Anyway, I'm not going to get on that soapbox. But, you know, I like Bortles. And like you said, I mean, I called it this year. Obviously, I was way off. But I think the Jaguars in the years to come, I think they're going, if, like you said, once Bortles matures and gets comfortable back there and they make some defensive moves, I think the Jaguars could be really good, you know, in the next, you know, three seasons or so.
Definitely. Bortles was great. They had that wide receiver. I can't Lord, his name just went right out the window. The moves that he was putting on the Dallas defense, their running back, was crazy. I mean, those two right there are a really good tandem. And like I said, I just think they just need a few more components on the defense. I think it's Dante Robinson. I mean, and I'm going to go back and double-check his name. But really, really good running back. And they are really making smart moves, and they're making them a little bit at a time. And
that was it.
I think
Denard Robinson.
That's who it was. Denard Robinson. Okay. Yes, that kid has.
He played quarterback at Michigan, and this kid. Oh my gosh! Seeing that, I mean, he's not big enough to play quarterback in the NFL, but he is insanely fast. Like when you would watch, like if when Michigan would play other teams, you were literally scared if that kid got daylight. I mean, it was insane how fast he is. Did you watch him in college, Eric?
Yes, I did. I was just about to say he always played with no shoestring, so I was trying to see if he was playing with him today, but I couldn't tell.
I couldn't tell either, but I know one thing for sure. He was leaving the Cowboys defense in the dust, because I could just sit there and just say nothing but, wow, he has really got some moves. And you know who else the Jaguars have that I really liked, and he played very well today, was Short. That is another good kid on receiving. Cecil Short, he did get injured, and that's another one. Mountain Union is a really small college up there in Ohio. But, you know, what he was doing today, again, in terms of catching the ball and the shortness of his hands and the grip and the confidence that he had, that's another good one to watch for next season.
Okay. So, Eric, we talked a little bit off air, but you're a Bears fan, and you've got a big game tonight. What are some things to watch for in tonight's game, and what are your thoughts on if the Bears can come out with a win?
Well, the main thing the Bears are going to have to do is they're going to have to start relying on Matt Forte a lot more in the as far as the running game. I know they throw to him quite a bit, but they're going to have to establish the run, and burn some clock to keep Aaron Rodgers off the field as much as possible. If they can do that, and also on the defensive side of the ball, establish a pass rush to be able to make, you know, Rodgers uncomfortable and, you know, get him off his game, that's going to be their best shot. I know that's a huge if, unfortunately, but that's what's going to have to happen for them to have a shot. If not, it's not going to be pretty.
Yeah, keeping Aaron Rodgers off the field for sure is one of the hugest things that, you know, because Aaron Rodgers, with the ball in his hand, he's dangerous. I mean, it's just all there is to it. He's a dangerous quarterback to have on that field, and it's definitely they're going to, you know, they're going to need to get pressure on him as well. But it's like you said, the Bears defense needs to get it together and get that rush on him, you know. I mean, he's mobile,
right,
for sure, not as mobile as, like, let's say, an RG3, but he can scramble pretty good, but they need to, you know, plug the lanes, get the pressure, and they should be able to control the tempo of the game that way.
Exactly. Otherwise, you know, it's going to be Jordy Nelson all night, which I am anticipating, but, you know, we'll see what happens.
But if they focus on Jordy Nelson, you know, the Packers actually are starting to come up with a pretty decent run game as well. They don't utilize it as much as they do their pass, throwing game, but their rushing game is coming up nicely. I think that you're right. I think the Bears have a lot on their hands tonight, and of course, being in Lambeau is not going to help. But I think it is possible. I mean, no one expected the Jets to upset the Steelers today.
Right.
Yep. Exactly.
It's
now, do either of you play fantasy football?
I haven't really gotten into it.
I played it one season about 5-6 years ago and never got back into it.
Okay.
Just to me, it just felt like it was just a pain in the butt just having to make sure, you know, this guy's not injured or, you know, what's this guy doing or, you know, who am I playing this week? And I might get back into it, but yeah, I'm not into it right now.
I'm playing, it's intense. I mean, right now I'm beating my opponent nicely, but I would be killing them if I had not gone on ahead and given Seattle the start for defense. And that's why I laughed, because I'm so embarrassed to admit that I actually had the Cleveland Browns as my backup defense, and had I played them instead of playing Seattle, I would have had 17 points extra as opposed to the 7 I got from Seattle's defense. And I think that is just, that's killing me right now. I'm like, I really and truly, I'm thinking Seattle's defense, New York Giants, they're not playing well. Whereas Cleveland and Cincy, they're kind of equal right about, no. And so, yeah, fantasy's tough.
There's a lot of guessing in fantasy football. I know we're doing a gridiron girl league this year. It's the first time I organized the league. But, yeah, there's a lot of guessing. You know, you think, oh, gosh, the guy didn't have a good season last or a good game. I'm going to bench him. And then he gets, you know, 30 points, and you're just like, oh, my gosh, what is, you know. And so I was, I told Eric off the air, or I said it, you know, Marshawn Lynch, in my league, he has me 40 points. He's the first person I drafted, 40 points. I mean, it's insane. He's had a, you know, but last week I think he got me like 12. So it's just, you never know what people are going to do. You know, I have Jimmy Graham as well, and Jimmy Graham was hurt for a couple of weeks, so that kind of screwed me up with my tight end because I didn't really have a backup tight end. But then I put him in today, and he had, like, 19 points. So it's a little bit of a for sure. It can be frustrating.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And I was going to say, absolutely, I agree. This is just interesting. This is only my second year ever doing fantasy because, like, I'm kind of like Eric. I just kind of watch. It's just so much into it. But it's fun, but it definitely is nerve-wracking as well.
Yeah. So we are
just imagine if you were a real owner and had to pay these guys.
No.
Heck
I
no.
could not.
Heck no, man. I'd be like, go, you're gone. I'm not making too much money. Okay, Adrian Peterson, I cut you. Ray Rice, you are cut. So, for sure.
Man. Yeah, definitely a lot of cutting going on. And the funny thing is I almost sat Brandon Cooks just because I'm like, he just really hasn't been doing anything. And then he pulls me out 15 points. And I'm
nice.
Like, yes. And so I was like, yay, I was doing the happy dance. And then I looked down and then I'm still reminded about that Seattle defense versus the Cleveland Brown defense. And I just,
A win is a win, though, for sure. So if you win, you can't beat yourself up about it because, you know, a win is a win, no matter how ugly it is.
Very true.
There you go.
All right. Well, you know, that does it for another edition of The Blitz here on Blog Talk Radio and UltimateSportsTalk.com. Again, we want to thank you, Pete Richmeyer, for your insights on the LFL and the LGL. Please do not forget to check out at GridironGirlOrg on Twitter, and you can go to our website, GridironGirl.org, for college football insights weekly and my Pro Talk column. I will have an Are You Kidding Me video up this week with my rants and all sorts of things I get frustrated about, my soapbox, if you will. You can also, I'm going to be on Cover 3 this Tuesday. You can check that out on Google Plus. You can follow Eric Brown at Fit for Life. That's Life with a Y. And Kishi Free at Kishi Cuties for football tweets and just overall awesomeness. Visit the No Jolt Football Project Shop for great deals on tees, hoodies, and leggings. You can go to the shop site now. So let us know your favorite tee and use your Twitter handle to win it by November 30th, so hurry and enter today. You can catch me at PetsFangirl12, and go ahead and follow at Cover3, and that's C-O-V-E-R, the number 3, and then the word 3 during the NFL season. Cover3 is awesome, and so we have Gridiron Girl, so it's a YouTube channel where my rants go up. And, again, thanks to Pete, and thank you, Eric and Kishi, for talking football. It was a lot of fun.
Yep, thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us. I love being a co-host. This is a wonderful show.
It is so much fun. So, and we thank everybody for listening, and we will catch you next Sunday. Everybody have a great evening.
All right, guys, be good.
We will talk
next week, Sunday.
Bye.
Bye.
Catch us next Sunday. Bye.